What up, everybody? It's your boy, Duke. This is Talking Soccer, free podcast, episode number 2, in total, episode 24. Thank you to everyone who's been with us the whole entire time, and welcome to those of you who joined us for the first free episode under the Guru Elite podcast header last week. I am your boy, Duke. You can find me on elitefantasy.com, talking DFS, of course, Elite Sports Betting for just the betting information. And don't forget about our boys over at fantasyguru.com, talking all things season-long information. I said it last week. I'll say it every week. I was a subscriber long before I was a contributor. We have the best in the business in every sport. You're missing out if you're not signing up for us on all three of those sites. Now, brand new information for you guys. I just spent $700 on new computer equipment. I just painted a new office. I got my shit ready to roll, because we are going to fire up Twitch soon. We're going to be doing some video content, trust me. And of course, you can find me on Twitch at Duke DFS, on Twitter at Duke DFS, and on Instagram at Duke DFS _. Now, let's talk some soccer. First, I got to say the feedback on the free podcast number 1 was awesome. I mean, it's a little bit overwhelming, to be honest. Thank you to everyone who reached out. I have had several people now who want to be my intern or work for me. That's super humbling and kind of hilarious. Keep them coming. Keep the inquiries coming. Who knows how big this will get? Just keep listening. Keep subscribing. Keep telling me what you want to hear on these podcasts, and I'll change it up. We're pretty flexible. I'm a bit of a one-man band, so there's no huge meeting that needs to go into changing up the format or information you guys do or don't want to hear. So keep hitting me up, especially on Twitter at Duke DFS. I feel like we're all in this together. Can anyone play the cowbell? I feel like we need some more cowbell on this sucker. Anyway, last week, of course, we went 5-2 on EPL bets. Bournemouth absolutely broke our hearts in the last minute, 88th minute, I think, to be exact, allowing Sheffield to push one over the line, grab a point. If you didn't see the goal, it was a set piece. They played it down the line. The guy crossed it in. Some donkey takes a shot. It's going well wide of the goal. Hits a defender. Hits an attacker. Bounces in the front. Billy Sharp, who's about 53 years old, shanks one off his shin, and it goes inside netting. Bournemouth ties Sheffield. We lose our freaking bet. Should have been 6-1. Of course, we pressed Sunday evening, as we tend to do when we're way up. Try to grab a late win with LA Galaxy. Pick up another unit. We lost that one. No big deal. Another big week in the green, and another hot tub video, which I know you guys love, on Sunday evenings. For those who don't know, it's Jacuzzi Sundays, baby. When we win, we take a coos, and that's how we roll on Elite Fantasy Soccer. Now, DFS, how'd we do? Smashed it. Our core four on Saturday produced 74 points by themselves. Let's just look to keep it rolling this week. We're back normal schedule, no more Friday games, which I kind of missed, to be honest. Instead, they're tacking one on to the end of the week. We'll actually have a Monday game between Manchester United and Wolverhampton Wanderers. We'll obviously have an article out for that. We'll have an article for Sunday Funday. We have two games on Sunday. But our big slate is the six-game slate on Saturday, and it features two main title contenders, City and Liverpool, and actually Tottenham as well. Man City, Tottenham, the afternoon hammer. City's starting 11, and we'll talk about this more here shortly. Super flexible, right? They have too many good players. We aren't sure exactly what Pep's going to roll out late in that game, and we won't know at lock, so we have some decisions to make. But first, before we do that, let's talk week one surprises. And of course, as always, we'll throw in some free bets at the end of this podcast. You don't care what I have to say about last week and this week. You're not going to play DFS. Subscribe, like, review, 5 stars, but then skip, get all the way to the bottom, get your free bets. Appreciate you listening. All right, week one surprises. For me, Norwich City might be a surprise. You're looking at the scoreline going, Duke, they got hammered by Liverpool. Yes, they did, but that's okay. They're supposed to get hammered by Liverpool. They're coming up from the championship, first year in the EPL, didn't make a ton of signings like an Aston Villa did, didn't spend a ton of money in the transfer market. You wonder, how can this team transition to the EPL? Well, quite frankly, they did well. They lost the game, right? Not only did they lose the game, they kind of got killed on the scoreline. But as far as the game goes, Norwich created plenty of chances, and they actually bagged a goal. They bagged a goal against a team who only conceded 22 goals in 38 games last year in league play. I have high hopes for Norwich this year. Are they going to be in the top half? No. Are they going to win the league? No. Are they going to get relegated? Maybe. But promising signs from the Canaries, Norwich City, who are at home, I believe, this weekend. In a game, they'll be looking to grab some points. Now, how about Man City? We mentioned them earlier. Hammering West Ham 5-0 on the road shows me everything I need to know about Man City. One of the things that both City and Liverpool, more so City, did was fine-tune their roster. They didn't need an overhaul. They won the league last year, second year in a row, by the way. They needed to fine-tune their roster. They bring in Rodri. They bring in Cancelo, who didn't feature yet. They found those little gaps that they needed to fill, but they kept the core the same. Why is that important? Well, it's kind of like in baseball, right? As we're nearing the playoff run here and every single game matters. Well, why did it matter in May? Why does it matter more now than it did back then? Especially in a league where there aren't playoffs like the EPL is, every single game is absolutely vital. Just look at last year's title race. City, 98 points, wins the league. Liverpool, 97. Because you start slow and you pick up a tie where it should have been a win, there's 2 points out the window. You cannot afford to get off to a slow start. Both Liverpool beating Norwich, City hammering West Ham, are right where they need to be as we get going here. Huge matchup, like I mentioned, with City and Tottenham coming up this weekend. But to me, this also says something about West Ham, a team that we made some money on last year as they changed managers, brought in some new players. Manuel Pellegrini, I said, this team's going to finish top half. They're going to finish top half of the table. And they squeaked in at 10th come the end of the year. But you know what? That ticket cash, baby. That money pays the same as someone that's a runaway win, right? So who cares? But they showed some quit on Saturday. What's down here, we say all hat, no cattle, right? You could say all bark, no bite, all icing, no cake. I mean, I kind of want to keep going, but let's move on. The point being, West Ham played City tough. 25, 30 minutes, City bagged their goal, right? We knew it was coming. It wasn't total domination. Heck, they get 60 minutes into the game. They're doing okay, down 1-0, down 2-0. Made a few subs. West Ham fell apart. As soon as that third goal went in, bang, bang, 4 and 5 followed not soon after. Don't love that sign from West Ham early, but it's West Ham, right? This is kind of their MO. One game they'll be great. Next game they'll start losing. They'll kind of throw their hands up and go, meh, we lost. Screw it. Let's save some energy. Move on to the next week. What's worrying to me about this is I really believed that Marko Arnautović was the main catalyst and his attitude seeped into the rest of the roster and the rest of the team, and that was part of their reason why they had these issues last year. He's gone. He's in China. What is your excuse this year, West Ham? Not good signs from West Ham early. Game one, we're not making huge decisions about these teams, but I didn't like seeing that. Lose 1-0, 2-0, respectable. 3-0, they get a goal late, sure. 5-0, get out of here, man. Now, how about the 4-0 win by Manchester United, putting it on Chelsea? And if you didn't see the game, boy, would you be mistaken on any takeaways. Of course, being a United fan, I watched start to finish, and then I rewatched it again, and then I watched the highlights, because when you're in it, especially as a fan, you're not watching it with an analyst hat on, right? Every other one of these games, I'm looking at tactical information, who's setting up where, who's benefiting from new scoring systems. The first time I watched this game through on Sunday, I'm rooting. I'm standing up. My wife's going, will you shut the hell up? Calm down. It's 3-0. I'm going, no, honey, you don't understand how important this game is. You don't understand that ball by Pogba to Rashford, mwah, delightful. So I had to rewatch it and rewatch it and rewatch it. And my initial thoughts were confirmed. Chelsea were the better team for 45 minutes, for sure. United very lucky to get to halftime up 1-0. Kurt Zouma made a horrendous challenge in the box, concedes a penalty. Marcus Rashford, even though Kepa guessed the right way, buries his penalty, takes it well. United's up 1-0. But let's not forget, Tammy Abraham smashed the post, took it really, really well. Chelsea dominated the first half. Chances, crosses, pressure. United were having trouble playing out of the back. It looked like a team that had two new pieces on the back line. Now, that's good news, bad news for Chelsea. Number one, they showed the ability with young players to come out, go to Old Trafford, which regardless of what you want to say about the team, still carries some weight. That's still a fortress, and it can be. especially if United play like they did in that second half this season. But they showed the ability to come out, be on the front foot, play, create chances. They hit the post, they hit the crossbar. United just hit them on a break. They got a penalty. They buried it. Second half, turnover, quick counterattack. Chelsea does well to get back. They play it back to Pereira. It beats a man down the end line. Azpilicueta falls asleep on the back post. Martial jumps in front. Bang, 2-0. Now all of a sudden, you're really on the back foot. You really have to press. 90 seconds later, Pogba unlocks the defense. Gorgeous pass from deep. Right off the turnover on the kickoff. 3-0. Games done and dusted. I got a little teary-eyed, not going to lie. New boy Daniel James comes off the bench, scores a goal, points to the skies. For those who don't know, his father passed shortly before he completed his move to Manchester United. Bags the goal, dedicates it to his dad. So, unbelievable scoreline. Not all is lost for Chelsea by any means. I think they're going to win this weekend, by the way. They're actually playing Liverpool today in the UEFA Champions Cup. Not everything's great for United. It's two things. Number one, it's a good result against a potential top four side, definitely top six in Chelsea. And it's 3 points in your first game of the season. And I guess it's three things. You want it home, which you have to do in this league. So just a couple of things I want to talk about from week one. DFS-wise, Harry Kane smashed. Eric Peters was the call of the season, perhaps. Picked up two assists from a left-back position for Burnley. At $2,800 on DK, let's go. A lot of subs won. A lot of DMs, a lot of screenshots. I don't want to overload you guys with screenshots because we're going to be winning all year. But great start to the season. Now, how about we talk about this coming weekend, right? From a DFS perspective, like I mentioned, the main slate is a six-game slate on Saturday morning featuring the top three finishers from last season. Big game, Man City hosting Tottenham. We'll talk about that in a second. But let's talk about Southampton-Liverpool, right? What can you really take away from Southampton's game at Burnley, like we just talked about? Nothing, literally nothing. There is no team in the Premier League that plays like Burnley, especially on a very windy day at home. So trying to, you know, press the ball like Southampton likes to do against a team who's going to hoof it up the field and play into that wind and be aggressive and get stuck in, not the best system. So it's hard to take anything away or really take anything from Southampton from their loss. It's Burnley. They were away. They would have loved to get a point. They didn't. And not only that, but Ashley Barnes took his first goal so well. Bouncing ball, hits it on the half volley, boom, 1-0. JBG closes the game out 3-0 with an absolute worldie of a shot coming in from the right with his left foot. I think Southampton is going to be better than they showed, and I think Burnley is going to be a little bit worse than they showed as the season goes on. But how about Liverpool? I mean, they're buzzing already. Like I said, they're playing a game Wednesday against Chelsea for a trophy, first trophy of the year for them. Midweek games aren't fun, especially this early in the season. And that could put a slight damper on their legs come Saturday. Now, is that enough to change the result on Saturday? No, I still think Liverpool's going to win, even on the road, even against Southampton. They should win the game. They'll still be right there in the title race, but this might shade my ownership elsewhere in DFS. One thing to remember when we look at DFS is every game is different. Every year is different. New players come in, new coaches come in, new tactics come in. We use that past statistical breakdown, those past efforts, as a starting point, but we have to look at everything with a fresh set of eyes every single week. Someone who really overperformed, was really over their skis last year, was Sadio Mane. Right? Didn't start last game, maybe won't even start this Saturday. But I think he'll have a regression based on his expected goals and his actual output, his positions he's taken up within this system from his statistical efforts last year, but still be one of those top, 15, top 10 type wingers in the league, top forwards in the league. Mo Salah off to a great start last weekend. Certainly someone will target against Southampton. Southampton does play that pressing, attacking style. It's good and bad. They win the ball further up the field when they do win it. But when they don't, they're left numbers down at the back. Do they really want to do that against the likes of Bobby Firmino, against Mo Salah, against Sadio Mane? No, I don't think they do. Expect a Liverpool win. But let's see the starting 11. Let's see how Wednesday's result goes before we throw all of our ownership into Liverpool this coming weekend. Now, one thing we do have to consider is we'll know their starting 11. What we won't know is the starting 11 for Man City, Tottenham. And I think, first of all, that Vegas is way off here. City should be favorites, right? They're home. They are the champions. But should they be two-goal favorites? Get the hell out of here. We jumped on this line on Monday, and I've already picked up some CLV. And for those of you who don't know, CLV, closing line value, it's really the holy grail in sports betting. We're gaining an edge on the market when we can pick up CLV. So what does that mean? Well, for example, Monday, lines come out for this weekend's coming action. Tottenham are listed as obviously underdogs, but then you look at the goal line, they're getting a goal and a half at even money? What? So that would mean, essentially, Tottenham would have to lose by two or more goals for us to lose this game. Now, it's also one and a half, so we can't draw, we can't tie, right? We're either winning or losing. Even money, getting one and a half goals, this isn't Southampton, this isn't Burnley, this isn't Brighton, Norwich. This is Tottenham. They finished third. You're giving me a goal and a half at even money? Jumped all over it. For those of you who are in the bet pack, we are already locked in. Tottenham plus one and a half at even money. Now, does that mean I think Tottenham won't lose by two? Kind of. Is there a chance Tottenham lose by two or more? Absolutely. City's a beautiful team. They play well. They're obviously clicking on all cylinders. We saw that with a 5-0 drumming of West Ham. But it's more probable than not that Tottenham does not lose by two or more goals. Not only that, I think the betting market will move the line, will become more efficient, and will gain that closing line value. Currently today, Wednesday, I'm recording this, Tottenham plus one and a half goals is at minus 120. We've already picked up 20 points of CLV. That's one of the only ways to be profitable in sports betting. My good friend, MLB model, always says you can't control what happens on the field, but you can control what you put your money on. You can control the market and what you see as value versus not. Beautiful opportunity there to pick up some CLV. I think we might even get more of that as we get closer to kickoff. There's a couple of reasons why. Number one, City did look spectacular. Early on, it wasn't smooth. Like I said, West Ham was, I think, tied through 20 minutes or so. Something like that. But especially these big boys earlier in the season, they just have quality all over the field. They have depth. Liverpool and City especially have continuity. Tottenham's kind of the same. They brought in Ndombele, who scored the goal. Beautiful goal. Although I don't know what Tyrone Mings was doing. Dude, just get in the way. Block the shot. Don't concede a goal. What a douche. But what if I told you last year, City won both the games against Tottenham? Would you be surprised? Probably not. I mean, they're champions, right? I'm sure they beat some of those top six teams. They did win both games. But what if I told you both games were 1-0 wins, right? Tottenham only lost 1-0 both times, home and away. Bit surprising that. These teams are just tough matchups for each other, right? Tottenham, the one worry I have for them, based on game week one, their back line's a little different. Trippier's gone. Vertonghen was relocated to not the bench, to the stands. A healthy scratch. I still haven't got a good reason for why that was. Davinson Sanchez, Toby Alderweireld, good individually, but for me, they lack a little cohesiveness as a center back pairing. Vertonghen, to me, is the key for the back line. I would not be shocked to see Pochettino go to a 3-5-2, three defenders, five midfielders, two forwards. Or even like a wingback situation where it's kind of a 5-3-2. I think they'll be so much better if they have Vertonghen, Alderweireld, and Sanchez back there. Use Davies on the left, Danny Rose on the left, Kyle Walker-Peters, Serge Aurier on the right. Get that defensive solidness. Keep that compact midfield to make City pass through really difficult lanes, really difficult angles. And that's what they did last year, and that's why they only lost 1-0. Now, the concerning thing for me is two games, Tottenham didn't score. They only conceded one goal. Hey, if we get another 1-0 loss, you know what that is? A W. Cash that ticket. Love that. This game, I think both teams will score. I do think Tottenham, while they struggled a bit against Aston Villa, left it late. They did bag goals late. Harry Kane missed several chances in the first half. Scored two goals, could have easily had four. or five. Tottenham will create chances. For those who don't remember, Son is still suspended for another game. After this game, he'll be back week three. Dele Alli likely to still miss, but they have to shore up that defensive side of things more than they have to go and grab a goal. On the road, Tottenham will look to play it safe, but I like them plus 1.5. And that is one of our free bets. For those of you who've made it all the way to the end here, here we go. I'm going to give out two free bets this week. I know we gave out, I think it was three or four last week. The rest of the bets will be in the bet pack, but here's my top two plays of the weekend. And of course, you can find all of my betting action on elitesportsbetting.com. We have Tottenham plus 1.5 goals, minus 120. Like I mentioned, we got it at even money on Monday. I still like it at minus 120 now. Don't love Tottenham straight up. You get hella good odds if you want to do that. Take the 1.5 goals. If Tottenham scores, that's a near absolute stone cold lock of the century. Even if they don't, they have a really good chance of cashing that ticket. Bet number two, West Ham draw no bet at plus 110. So we have one favorite, one dog, Tottenham plus 1.5 goals, minus 120. West Ham draw no bet plus 110. Now, before we close out here, I do want to explain draw no bet for those of you who are new to the sport. Essentially what that means is we're hedging a touch, right? Typically in a game of soccer, you can bet three options. It's called a three-way line. Team A to win, team B to win, or the game end in a tie. This is season play. If we get to the end of 90 minutes, the score is tied, whistle goes, shake hands, head back to the locker room, move on to the next week. Now, in a draw no bet situation, it's a little bit different. We're hedging. We're removing that third option. If the game ends in a draw, you get your money back. Now, you do concede some odds in that situation, whereas West Ham would be plus 230, plus 250, something like that, to win the game outright. If we remove that option of the draw, our odds lessen to plus 110. I would have bet this all the way to minus 115, minus 120. So from my spreadsheet to the book, we're getting 30 points of CLV, not CLV, but 30 points of profitable juice here. And that's why I like the bet. Again, West Ham, I think, has a decent shot even after their horrible performance by Man City. I think Vegas has overcorrected based on that result. Certainly not going to face that type of team this weekend. And when they're not down, they actually have a ton of talent. Jack Wilshere, I think, needs to be sat back on the bench. Pablo Fornals come in, play that number 10 role, and absolutely crush it for West Ham. Short and sweet. Take your shot. Once again, thank you guys so much for the feedback on episode one. Hope you enjoyed episode two here. Of course, we'll go deeper into DFS from every single game. We'll do game previews for every single game. The rest of my bets will be in this article as well, but back of the net EPL preview out Thursday afternoon, previewing this Saturday's DFS slate. Already have five bets in the bet pack for Wednesday's action. We'll have at least four. I'm working on maybe five for this weekend, and you have two of them there. West Ham draw no bet plus 110, Tottenham plus 1.5, minus 120. That's going to do it for Talking Soccer Free episode number two. Follow me at DukeDFS on Twitter, at DukeDFS _ on Instagram, and follow me on Twitch because I just spent a boatload of money on computer equipment at DukeDFS as well. Adios!